Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Ask the CIO with your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Chad Sheridan, the Chief Information Officer of the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency. Chad, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start with some basics. The USDA's Risk Management Agency, it seems like the title of the agency says it all, managing risk. But give me the mission of the agency. What do you guys want to accomplish from the 50,000-foot view?
Well, Risk Management Agency serves the agricultural community by providing effective market-based risk management tools and solutions to strengthen the overall agricultural producer community and rural communities.
And when we say risk management tools, that's everything from what?
Basically, it's crop insurance. The primary purpose of the Risk Management Agency is to field the federal crop insurance program through the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation, which the agency runs.
So imagine when you guys get drought, when you get hurricanes, when you get floods, that all comes back to you, especially in that middle part of the U.S.
Absolutely, especially this year. I think 2011, according to our administrator, Bill Murphy, is probably the worst insurance year over the last 30 years, with drought in the Southwest and the tremendous amount of rainfall in the upper Midwest and western regions.
And of course, that means you as the CIO probably gets extra work to do as well. So let's talk about your role as the CIO. How do you support the mission of the Risk Management Agency?
Really, it's twofold. The first piece is the easy part to understand, which is to support the 500 or so employees of the Risk Management Agency by fielding a network, providing them desktop computing services, help desk, et cetera. The harder piece to understand and took me a little bit to get around my head when I got here is we support the entirety of the business systems that field and support and provide the financial systems to support the federal crop insurance program. So if you look at the amount of data and money flowing through our systems, I'd say on average every week we're probably seeing between 45 and 50 million records coming from approved insurance providers. So there's policy information, producer information, premiums, et cetera. We also see approximately about $300 million a week of losses being paid through our escrow accounts. So if you go through the cycle, I think we start with about several million records of actuarial information to publish the actuarial data to support delivering the policy. We talked again about the amount of data coming from the insurance providers. That's about 50 million records per week, and then bring that through. So we take those records, we validate them, and then based on those calculations, we make sure we're happy with the premium amount settled, and then we pay losses through the escrow account based on that information. And right now, we're in the heavy loss season. We're probably seeing $300 million a week. And we're probably seeing on total for this reinsurance year just under $12 billion of premium. And as of right now, just under $3 billion of indemnity or losses.
Wow. I mean, that's a lot of numbers. Give me a sense, and how does this compare to previous years? You said this is the worst for crop insurance over the last 30 years. Can you give me a sense of just the 45 to 50 million records and the 300 million a week? Is that 80% more? Is that double? Give me a sense.
In terms of numbers of records, I think we're maybe 10 to 20% higher. I think total number of acres insured is about the same as last year. But if you look at the value of the commodity crops, we're seeing in terms of total amount of liability, and that is the amount of crops that are insured, we're seeing about 20 to 30% increase in the value. So last year, for the 2010 reinsurance year, you're talking about $70 billion of liability. Last year, we're looking at about $103 billion of liability for this year.
Wow, I mean, that's incredible. And then when you look at the price, I imagine, of corn and some of the prices of the other agricultural products, that also probably rises.
That's where the additional liability comes from. You've seen the increases in crop prices over the last year.
We're going to get to this, but I imagine this also puts a stress on your network and those business systems that handle it. And I imagine we're going to get to that in a minute when we talk priorities and stuff like that. But before we jump into that, give me a little bit of sense about your office more broadly. How many federal employees do you have? How many contractors? What is the Risk Management Agency's IT budget for 2011?
The Risk Management Agency is slightly different than a lot of the agencies in agriculture, whereas we have probably a split where we're about a third or less federal employees and two-thirds or more contractors. Right now, including myself, we have 21 federal employees on CIO staff. And right now, our contract workforce is approximately 110. We've ranged between 100 and 120 this year. Our overall annual budget for fiscal 2011 is just under $27 million, and that includes the last $9 million of funding provided in the 2008 Farm Bill for IT system modernization.
That ratio seems pretty high. I mean, obviously about two-thirds to one-third. Is that something you're comfortable with, or does it rise and lower depending on projects and needs? I hear a lot of it from CIOs where they're not too worried about the ratio because they say, well, we increase when we have a development project and we decrease when we finish it and we're back in the O&M stage.
Right now, I'd say our workforce is maybe a little bit high on the contractor side because of the modernization efforts that have gone on in the last 4 years. I'd also say that I'm probably a little bit more comfortable with a little bit higher ratio of federal oversight to the contractors. Part of those limitations are we've had some losses recently, and our personnel budget right now in the agency is very stressed, so our ability to go backfill lost positions is limited.
You and everybody else, I hear that from not just CIOs, but every agency that's saying, you know, we'd love to be able to hire more people or bring in more oversight, but we're really stressing with that budget issue. And I think that's something we're going to address in a little bit. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those priorities. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Chad Sheridan, the Chief Information Officer of the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chad Sheridan, the CIO of the Risk Management Agency at the USDA. Now, Chad, before break, we talked a little bit about your office. We talked a little about RMA's mission. Let's talk about some of those priorities. You gave us a little bit of a hint. Tell us what you want to get done over the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, I think, first of all, coming in here as a new CIO, one of the things I want to get my hands around is to develop a long-range IT budget strategy and plan. That includes things like our regular planned refreshes of client, server, and network architecture, and what business systems we look to modernize and improve over the next 5 to 10 years. One of the things that I am very used to coming from a defense background is 5 to 7 year budget planning. I came into agriculture, and that's not the norm. And so it seems to me that we've been living a lot of hand-to-mouth. We look for our next year's appropriations, or we look maybe 1 to 2 years in the future with our capital planning program, but don't have that long-range view that I guess I was born with. I worked my entire career in defense before I came here, so I'm used to that kind of a planning window. That, to me, is a priority to help us get some stability in what I think are very uncertain budget times.
Let's touch upon that for a little bit, because I think a lot of agencies, a lot of CIOs are looking at both their strategic plan, but also their IT strategic plan and how they fit together. Give me a sense of what you're doing. Is that a deep dive into your as-is, your to-be? Is it more about, okay, what do our business systems look like now? How do we improve them? What's that strategy going to look at?
I think, first of all, it's making sure we got our arms completely around the funding and what we think is coming in the next few years. Where do we think we have absolute needs that we've got to fund? And then what flexibility do we have between the what do we have and what can we not pay for? I think the other piece that I want to go into is looking at the requirements. Go back to what do our business customers, which is the primary customer for our business, what do they need? What in any one of our risk management agency business lines do they need? Start to drill down into what are the processes they use and then get into functional or more detailed requirements. If you start to then take a look at each area's business requirements, then you can start to get a feel for are we meeting those requirements? Where are we not meeting those requirements? Where is there integration across systems that we perhaps have not thought about before? In essence, coming up with a contract of what the business needs from IT and what IT is providing.
Let's talk about those IT business systems a little bit, because one of the things when you went through kind of your role as CIO and supporting the risk management agency, you talked about it's such a big year for the risk management agency in terms of how much business you're getting, and it's not always good business. Where do you see your business systems now? Have you gone through some initial analysis of those business systems? Are they up to par? Do you see needs in some areas and other areas where you say, okay, we can live with that for the short term?
Well, I think we're coming towards the end of the modernization program provided for by the 2008 Farm Bill. We've delivered over the last year two of the major areas. We talked about our actuarial data systems to deliver the policy information so that our insurance providers can write insurance policies. We've also modernized our policy tracking and acceptance systems. Those systems bring in all of the policy information from the approved insurance providers, check them, perform calculations, and ensure that we validate and accept the policy information from the insurance providers. One of the things that we've done over the last probably 3 months, in essence the entire time I've been here, is improve, kind of go through a shakedown period on those systems. Those two systems came on board for the 2011 reinsurance year. At the same time, RMA rolled out a whole new insurance program called the Combined Policy Program, or the Combo Program, which combined five or six different types of policies into a single policy. You're stretching the limits of my insurance knowledge. But in essence, that policy includes a very heavy calculational burden. So we have a new system, a new program with a big, heavy calculational burden. The shakedown period for those systems has been brutal. And so the vast majority of the last 9 months has been our efforts to improve how these systems are performing in production. I think we finally turned the corner where probably over the last 2 months we're seeing about a factor of 5 to 6 improvement in our calculational speed, especially on the acceptance of policy information from the providers.
And I think that's huge when you can increase the speed of those calculations, because that means the money can get to the farmers and people who need it sooner. Is that correct?
That's a part of it, but it also is the drumbeat of the day-to-day business. So an insurance provider comes in and submits a batch that includes, say, 2.5 to 3 million records. It was taking our systems about 8 hours to process that, and now we're down to about 1 hour or 2. And so what that means is the provider can send in a batch in the morning, get the result, including whether there's any errors in accepting some of those policies, turn around and resubmit the same day. So we're starting to see one of the big problems that this system comes about is when you have errors between what the providers have submitted and what we accept, those are, and they include indemnity or losses, that means we can't submit and pay the escrow accounts because we haven't settled those policies. Well, in that case, the provider may have already paid the claimant, the producer, and they're waiting for us to backfill the escrow to pay them. So if we can increase the speed at which we can turn around and fix errors in policy acceptance, then we're providing better service and improved speed in paying out on these claims.
It reminds me of the way you describe it as what happened with the grant-making system in the government. This is a grants.gov during the Recovery Act. When all this money was coming out through the grant system, they had to really upgrade it, new software, new systems. Is that what you guys had to do to increase the processing time? Was it just faster processors, or was it a software change, or a little bit of both?
It was a little bit of both. First thing that we put in place was we simplified some of the calculations and improved the speed calculationally. I think that brought us probably about a factor of 2 or so improvement. And that's where I think we're going to get more bang for the buck later. The next thing we do is we implemented a new set of servers in our production environment. That bought us probably between a factor of 2 to 3 improvement in processing speed. We've got a little bit further to go in that area as well, in that we basically replaced the servers we had in production. We had a 2-node cluster. Now we're looking to, in the next 6 months or so, further improve that by migrating to a 3-node cluster with a full failover. So, and then smartly separate our different, maybe separate our actuarial calculational engine from our policy tracking engine and see where we can get improvements in our speed in areas where we're getting multiple hits on a server from two different business areas.
you got into the weeds, and that's very exciting. So I got to ask the question. You talk about changing servers. You talk about three node with full failover capacity. Where's the cloud fit in this? Or is this the type of information that you can't put to the cloud, at least a public cloud, because of the sensitivities and, if you will, the PII?
I think that's part of it. We're really in the early stages of figuring out where we want to go with the cloud. Really, two choices that we could be offered. One choice is moving our systems to a departmental hosted data center. Right now, we're not part of the department data center for several different reasons. That's one choice we could make. The other choice we could make is to move these things to the cloud. I'd like to think that we could move to the cloud, but certainly one of the areas we have to look at is the amount of, we do have a lot of PII on these systems. I think the other thing we have to take into account is the amount of workload and how virtual we're really not. For our production database systems in a heavy virtualized environment, they're dedicated servers. They're extremely powerful servers with lots and lots of memory, which is needed to support these calculations. I'm not sure that those particular systems find their way to the cloud right away. They might be the latter part of the systems, but we've got a couple hundred servers that first thing I want to do is get them better virtualized. Stop having a box per server that makes no business sense in this environment. And then once I've got a better virtual environment, then I can accurately price out what would be the departmental hosting costs versus what would be a cloud-based offering.
Are you guys under pressure, though, because of the data center consolidation initiative to make some of these changes?
We were already starting down the path of virtualization, and then certainly if you're not virtualizing your servers, you're wasting money. So we were already going down that route. We're certainly getting and understand the push from the department in terms of moving to a data center environment. Frankly, we've looked at a couple of business cases, and right now we're doing pretty well in terms of our hosting costs relative to the offerings of the data center. I think that has to do with we have a fairly small environment. We're hosting our data center, in essence, in the basement of where the majority of our people are in Kansas City. So if I'm paying $200,000 for electricity for those things, I'd be surprised. So footprint costs, we're not paying a lot for footprint costs. We're not paying a lot for electrical and air conditioning services costs. And then I'm not yet certain how we balance the what is a true hosting cost from our contractor versus what's the cost of maintaining the systems that I wouldn't necessarily want a data center to provide. So I think as we come through that, we get better virtualization. We might have a better story on exactly where the return on investment comes for moving to a data center.
Very good. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you more about some of those business systems and the effect that all this, if you will, extra work you're having is having on those business systems. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and our special guest today is Chad Sheridan, the Chief Information Officer of the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency.
Sound familiar?
Where's my data stored? Who owns it? How many duplicates exist? How much file data is unused? How are we going to pay for all of it?
Vion Corporation's Capacity Services is the answer. Your organization needs a trusted advisor with the right technical tools and the right financial expertise to solve big storage problems for good. For over 31 years, Vion Corporation and Hitachi Data Systems have been planning and preparing to solve big data problems for the government at the exabyte level. Visit Vion.com to learn more. That's Vion.com. Whether your organization calls it cloud, utility computing, managed services, or capacity services, at the core is the rapid provisioning of information technology infrastructure. At Vion Corporation, they pioneered capacity services 10 years ago. Vion was awarded the first and currently holds the largest federal government capacity services contract. They provide government IT owners an agile financial vehicle for meeting mission-critical IT needs. Vion and Hitachi Data Systems have been delivering IT solutions to the government for over 31 years. Visit Vion.com to learn more.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Chad Sheridan, the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency's Chief Information Officer. Now, Chad, before break, we talked a lot about your systems and how they're being improved and your business systems specifically. But one of the things that I'm interested in knowing more about is the stress that RMA is facing with the 30-year high on need for crop insurance and insurance payments for the damage done by the floods and the droughts and things like that. What other systems are really feeling that stress? You talked about two. Are there others that are also saying, whoa, slow down?
Well, I think a lot of our systems are very interrelated, but where we're feeling the stress certainly right now is on the back-end accounting systems. Now, unfortunately, we have not yet gotten to modernize our back-end accounting system, so we're still working off a Unix and Informix database engine. And so what we take is our modernized systems that are pulling in the policy information, and we do an extract to populate our legacy systems. Right now, the next step is to complete our modernization efforts by getting accounting into this updated system. In fact, I think the government folks are sitting down to start to develop some priorities and requirements around that effort before we start to engage the contractors. So that, to me, is the last piece of the priority puzzle to modernize our systems. They are feeling a pinch. We spend a lot of time making sure that those errors that propagate in the acceptance of policy information or policies that aren't accepted, we've actually had to manually load escrow because we couldn't get errors corrected, either coding errors and how we're performing the calculations so that we were rejecting policies incorrectly or things that were coming in that should have been accepted right away. So a lot of the modernization efforts or the last piece of the shakedown effort is to correct those known errors. I think we've got close to 100 change requests that we've got to get through in the next two to three months to minimize the amount of rejected policies so that we can accurately and quickly fund the escrow account.
Now, these accounting systems are for the escrow account. These are for the finances that you guys, in terms of crop insurance. These aren't necessarily the finance systems that you guys as the agency used. Or are they one and the same?
They're different systems. They all feed the departmental financial information system, but our accounting systems for the corporation, the Federal Crop Insurance Corporation, are separate systems from the department's financial management at FIMI. We do use FIMI and fund everything through FIMI. So that's our departmental system. That's our agency system for normal transactions. But these accounting systems feed that.
Let's talk about some other priorities. One of the things you mentioned was Kansas City is a main headquarters office or main area where you have a lot of staff, a lot of data centers. Do you also have employees that need to go into the field? Are you guys looking at mobile devices? Obviously, that's something that a lot of CIOs are looking at.
We're certainly looking at mobile devices. Right now, we've got about 90 employees in the Washington, D.C. headquarters, about 170 or so in the Kansas City facility, and then we've got another set of employees scattered in our regional offices or in compliance offices, I think a total of 8 to 12 of those offices in total. And so, yes, mobile solutions are a big part of our total device strategy. Right now, all of our client devices are laptops, so we have the ability for any employee, if they're on a telework agreement, to work in a telework environment. We have our own virtual private network as well as a Citrix capability. So we have two different solutions to come into our environment and work as if you were a part of our environment today. We're looking at mobile devices because I think it makes a lot more sense for two main types of people in RMA. One would be our executives. All of our executives and anybody who needs it has BlackBerry service. Problem with BlackBerry service is reading of documents, and our executives repeatedly have stated, hey, we need an ability to read documents, to provide approvals, to provide edits to documents, and right now our mobile device of choice, the BlackBerry, doesn't give us that. So mobile devices for executives, we're certainly looking at. The other piece is it makes a whole lot of sense to take a smaller device if you're going out to do a claim investigation on a farm, or if you're doing a policy writing in an insurance provider's office, to not be lugging around, it almost seems nonsensical, a laptop. Laptops are light and small, but they're not ultimately the device of choice for the people that are constantly moving around. So right now we're looking at a couple of different mobile device solutions. We're taking advantage of what I think the department's already done with iPads, but we're not convinced that that's the right device for us across the enterprise. I've asked my deputy and my staff to take a look at a bunch of different devices and come up with what we think the best devices are based on our users' needs. That may mean we're a little bit behind folks. We already see iPads in the building. I'm not interested in a mobile device just because somebody else down the street has it. I want to make sure it fits our users' needs and it's a supportable and fits into our environment. If I could find a way to get a mobile device that I could go native into our environment, then we'd be solving a whole lot of problems and keeping a secure solution.
Are you looking at pilots? Are you just looking at some initial testing and then maybe doing pilots later in 2012? Where are you heading with this?
I expect we should be able to field a pilot early next year. In some cases, my staff is very interested in seeing where this Windows 8 tablet comes out. We're a heavy Microsoft shop, and so my folks have an inclination to things that fit natively in the Windows environment. So that looks, at least on paper right now, as a big win for us. Obviously, we have to see how it works out. I think we also have to get a little bit more mature, not only in the agency, but across the department in mobile device management. We have a mobile device management solution, McAfee solution, for the devices that have been fielded to date. I think overall we probably need to put some more due diligence and work into that to come up with a better strategy, a stronger mobile device management solution for the department.
The other thing that you hear a lot about mobile devices is the applications. Can your applications, the business applications that we were just talking about, can they run on the mobile device? Because you could have a great mobile device, but if you can't reach back and use those applications easily, then it doesn't matter.
I think we're very well set up to take advantage of this. A lot of the input or the user interface to our major applications are web-based. So if you go in and want to pull actuarial documents, it's done in an actuarial information browser. Right now, our producers submit batches via FTP. There's no reason why I couldn't use, not sure I'd use a mobile device for that per se, because we're probably talking extracts from their heavy use systems. But in terms of being able to get the information you need to come up with a price estimate or a cost estimate for insurance, all of that information is available via web browser interface on the web.
We're almost out of time. Before I let you go, I did want to talk a little bit more about your background. You made some comments earlier that you've only been at the risk management agency for a few months, and you came from DOD. Give me a sense of where else have you worked.
I've spent pretty much the entirety of my career with the Department of Navy. I was active duty for about 6 years and then another 12 or so years as a government civilian, all with the same agency, the Naval Nuclear Propulsion Program. So why I wanted to come to risk management, the job I had in the Department of the Navy was a deputy CIO job, and I had been looking for a CIO job, and this one popped up and looked like an interesting opportunity.
The learning curve, I imagine, has been just pretty incredible because while naval nuclear propulsion is complex, now you're dealing with actuaries and insurance. That's a whole other set of complexities.
Absolutely. I think one of the things I enjoyed about my previous job was I grew up in the engineering side, so I knew the business fairly well through 13-plus years of business work before actually coming into IT. And one of the things I think is extremely important in IT is for the IT folks to understand the business so that they can deliver better solutions. So I'm on a huge learning curve right now trying to learn crop insurance. It's daunting. It's as complex as anything I've learned in nuclear power. It's exciting. I like to learn new things. And one of the things both myself and my staff, I tell them, is we need to understand the business or we're not going to be able to deliver effective solutions.
Very true. Whether you're doing nuclear power, whether you're doing crop insurance, or the hundreds of other things that CIOs do. Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today was Chad Sheridan, the Chief Information Officer at the Agriculture Department's Risk Management Agency. Chad, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer, brought to you by Vion Corporation on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.